Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, as always, please, will you stay with me? It's only going to be a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And of course, we don't use any manipulation. We don't try to con people. We're not trying to hustle anyone for money. We're not trying to solicit any membership. All we want to do is give you something, and that's the Word of God, the Bible, the divine viewpoint found in the Scriptures. Our objective is to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And my prayer is that if you understand that, you will orient and adjust to the plan. That's my desire. We give you the truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth. That's it. And so thank you for listening today. We are up around 600 Sundays. We've been broadcasting The Flatline across America. We're very privileged to have so many of you all the way from California to New York that are listening in today. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for me as the Lord directs me what to cover, what to say, what to teach. I've been traveling a lot lately, speaking in various places, and just got back from an extended trip out into Texas. So I'm glad to be home, glad to have a few days home, and glad to be able to be with you this morning by means of this radio show. Some of the things I've been thinking about lately are very critical to me, very important to me. As I was speaking to a group of people last weekend in Texas, I got to thinking about something that a lot of people don't realize, and I'd like to bring it up to you today. I'd like to hope this makes sense to you today. You've often heard me say that the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's an unbelievable life, and the whole concept of the flatline, F-L-O-T, is so you can build an invisible supernatural force in your soul, an invisible problem-solving system in your soul. And that system is made up of God's Word as we learn it, as we apply it and cycle it into our stream of consciousness. When we learn these 10 unique problem-solving devices that I call the flatline, and this is not original to me, this was taught by my pastor many years ago, and I have his permission to reteach it accurately. But as we learn this flatline, as we learn these 10 problem-solving devices, then we have the opportunity to live a very unique life. It's called the Christian life, and it's a life much like the life that our Savior lived. Remember, He was God, and He was man. So He was the God-man. He was undiminished deity as God, and true humanity as man. And so as God, there was nothing He could not do, but as man, there were anything He couldn't. There were a lot of things He couldn't do. So He lived in the devil's world just as you and I do. And He demonstrated to us that it is possible to live in the devil's world and to be victorious and defeat the devil by following the plan of God all the way to fruition. But there is something you must understand. You cannot live this life. You cannot function in this Christian life, this supernatural life, without the supernatural power that Jesus Christ tapped into and used. If you think about Matthew 4, for example, you will see where our Lord was led by the Holy Spirit. When He began His ministry, He was led into the wilderness to be tested. And as He was tested by Satan on three different occasions, He was able to quote Scripture, to mouth Scripture to the devil. And using Scripture, it's what we call the faith rest drill, using the promises of God, He was able to defeat the temptations that the devil threw His way. But He had to do it by means of the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He knew that the disciples and you and I as well, that we could not function in the devil's world. We could not effectively represent Him in the devil's world if we did not have the same power. We had to have the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the same power He had. And we had to have the power of His Father's Word, which is the same power He had. And when we use these two things in combination, in the balance of residency in our soul, we can be undefeatable. We can effectively represent Jesus Christ to our generation. And it's critical that we understand that this morning. So I want to back up just for a moment. I want to focus in on this. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be charismatic. I'm not trying to be supernatural. I want to be fundamental and objective when I tell you this. So let's back up and let's look at this for a minute. Here's my statement to you. Unless you understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to you, unless you understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to you, you will never effectively live the victorious Christian life. You must come to understand the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So if we back up to John 14:26, we see the words of Jesus himself. Our Lord said these things. He said, as recorded by John, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." This was a promise he gave to the disciples who became the apostles, and they were tasked with writing down the things that Jesus Christ said and writing down the events of his life and writing them down correctly and accurately so that you and I could read about him today. So he's called the Comforter. In the original language, that's the Paraclete. He's our tutor, our mentor. And where did he come from? The Father sent him. And that was a future active indicative of that verb. He will send him in the future. And we know that occurred at Pentecost. We know in Acts 2:1-4, the Holy Spirit came and ascended upon those disciples. And it said, when he comes, he will teach you. We know Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. We know the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We know the Bible says, study to show thyself approved and grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Here's the point. You will not grow, you will not learn, you will not advance in your Christian life if the Holy Spirit is not teaching you. He must be the teacher. And that means if he is teaching you, then he will give you insight and understanding and bring the things you learn to your remembrance when you need them. These are things that are stored in your consciousness. You can't remember everything you learn. Obviously, we write them down in our Bible. We take notes. We have notebooks full. But when we need to find that information, he reminds us where it is, or he pulls it out of our memory. He jogs our memory. The things that he said, Jesus said, the things I said unto you, he will bring them to your remembrance. And it's the same for us today. The Holy Spirit, it's critical we understand this. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He's just as real as Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. He's just as real as the Heavenly Father. In John 15:26, the Bible says, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he, there's a personal pronoun, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit is a real person. You don't see him, you don't feel him, you don't touch him, but he's real. And he is part of our divine God. Just one part. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it is not possible for you to worship God. Number one, if you're not born again and don't have a human spirit. And number two, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not possible to worship God. So how do I get a human spirit? Well, I'm born again. If I'm born the first time physically dead, spiritually dead, then I need to be born again, not physically, but spiritually. And when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I am born again, not physically, spiritually. Jesus told Nicodemus, you need to be born again spiritually. Don't marvel about that, he said. It's a spiritual birth. Once you're born again, then you have a human spirit that is made alive and quickened by God, the Holy Spirit. And that now you're able to have fellowship with, God. Before that happened, you had a body and you had a soul, but you did not have a human spirit. Your human spirit was dead, because the Bible said, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and death has passed on all, for the wages of sin is death. When you're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Thus, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Your human spirit must be born again. And it's done when the Holy Spirit enters you, when he comes into you. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you receive Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. The Holy Spirit bears the name and exhibits the attributes and accomplishes all the work of deity. He is deity. He is a rightful and equal member of the Godhead three. That's right. God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you. Every attribute of God is ascribed to the same Holy Spirit, just as full and just as freely as to the Father or the Son. The Holy Spirit is said to possess eternal life in Hebrews 9:14. He's called an eternal spirit. He's said to possess omnipotence in 1 Peter 3:18, where he resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same power that will resurrect you. He's omnipresent in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, where the psalmist wrote, where shall I go to leave your spirit? It's not possible. He's omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:10, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking. The Holy Spirit is love, just like God, because the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit reproduces divine faithfulness in us. He never lies. He's called in 1 John 5:6, the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit, the one that lives in you, is the divine executive, which is the official responsibility of the Spirit. He is manifest and defends the holiness of God himself. He lives in you. As a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he convinces you of sin in John 16:7, and he has a ministry through you, where he reveals Christ to the world. He's the minister of regeneration in Titus 3:5. We're not saved by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, now listen, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There he is, right there in the middle of your salvation. John 3:1, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:4, there's one body, one Spirit, and just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, there's only one Holy Spirit. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, he baptizes you, which means he places you into union with Christ. He puts you into the family of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is the way that you have a distinguishing identification. It may not be observed by those around you, but it's recognized by God. He lives in you, and he seals you, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is living in you. He is your power to execute this Christian life. When we talk about having a flatline, the first thing we talk about is rebound. And the reason it's critical is you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And the reason it's critical again is because when you rebound, you are filled with the Spirit. Sinning quenches the Holy Spirit. Sinning grieves the Holy Spirit. And when we go to God and admit our sin, as of 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32, 4 and 5, when you do that, you are filled with the Spirit. You can't pray effectively unless you are filled with the Spirit. Listen to Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we don't know what to pray as we should. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, no Old Testament believer was ever said to be in union with Christ, not like you, and they were not indwelt or filled by the Holy Spirit like you. I mean, certain believers were endued by the ministry of the Holy Spirit or empowered to do special works like in Exodus 31, 1 through 5, but not filled with the Spirit like you. You are unique. When the Holy Spirit controls your life, He can use you. He can use you in spite of your ability or inability. But if He does not use you, then the greatest talent and ability and personality and eloquence in the world is absolutely useless. You will never convince anyone to believe in Christ. You will never effectively represent God unless the Holy Spirit controls your life. And then if He's in control of your life, you can say five words and bring the world to their knees. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the unlimited power of God's Word and the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit at your availability, but not with sin in your life. You must not allow sin to control your life. You must not ignore sin when you do it. When you are aware that you've sinned with a mental attitude sin, or a sin of the tongue, or an overt sin, when you know you've sinned, you break fellowship with God, you quench the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you must stop then, right then, not tonight, not tomorrow, then, and tell God, I just sinned. Tell Him what you did. Because the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The neat thing is that word confess. It's a compound verb. Homologeo, homologeo, H-O-M-O-L-O-G-E-O, homologeo. It means to cite, to name, to agree with, to tell God what you did. I lied. I lusted. I stole. I hated. I gossiped. I complained. I maligned. I was fearful. That's naming your sin. And unless you do that, you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will try to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh, and you will bomb out. You won't make it. Oh, you'll be in heaven. You'll have eternal life. You will never glorify God to the maximum in your life, and you will never effectively represent Christ to your generation because you will try to do it under the power of your own ability, your own talent, your own personality. Just think about some singer who's a great singer. And they're in your church, and they're singing away to the glory of God, and they got their hands raised up, and they're leading you in a worship service, and 5 minutes earlier, they were out back mad and swearing and cussing and up and mad at somebody in the congregation or mad at some other person in the choir or mad at their wife or their husband, and then they get out there and they act like everything's pumped. Listen, that doesn't glorify God. That's a waste of God's time, human energy, human flesh. Now, when you use the Scriptures, I don't care who uses the Scripture, if you're in fellowship or if you're out of fellowship, if you have unconfessed sin in your life or you are not, you don't have any unconfessed sin in your life, if you use the Scripture, it's alive and powerful. It doesn't need you. But God left you here as a voice, and when you quote the Scripture, even though you may be personally out of fellowship, it's still effective. It is the Word of God. And if you want some rewards for doing that, if you want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, then you do it under the filling of the Holy Spirit. You represent God as you should. church-age believers, you and me, we have a wonderful law that we operate under. Not the old law of Moses, no. We have a new law. Christ is the end of the law for believers. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, there it is, you're not under the law. See, we're not living under the Mosaic law. Sure, we can go to the Old Testament. Sure, we can see personally what these things were written about and even make application to our life because they are effective for application. But we're not under the law of Moses. We're under a higher law. We're not lawless. The Bible says that. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you are under grace, the Bible says in Romans 6:14. In Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, Romans 8:3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful man, that's like you and me, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. See, the Mosaic law was weak because of the old sin nature of the flesh. No one could live up to the law. The law could do nothing for us, so God sent his Son, and he fulfilled the law and completely obeyed it. He became a sin offering, and he was set to death on the cross for you and me. He's the only one that could have done it, because he's the only one that was perfectly righteous. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, the ones that don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We cannot keep the law in the power of the old sin nature. It can only be fulfilled by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, when the Bible says do this, or the Bible says do that, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do it. That's where the energy comes from. That's where the power comes from. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be made strong by his Spirit in the inner man. That's your soul strength. Soul strength to do battle in the soul. The negative mandates found in the Bible, don't you quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. And if you sin, that's what you do. You can recover from your sin by using problem-solving device number one and rebound, and then you will be spiritual. Spiritual, in fellowship. Carnal, out of fellowship. Spiritual, no unconfessed sin in your life. Carnal, lots of unconfessed sin in your life. And I hear you. How could I keep up with all my sins? I can't count them all. What did the verse say? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness, even the ones you don't remember. But you cannot operate in the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. The secret is tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit control your life. And this is why you're having trouble. This is why you're up and down every day. This is why you're not the same person 2 days in a row. This is why you don't get answers to your prayers. This is why you don't understand the Bible when you read it. You're doing it in the energy of the flesh. It won't work. You must allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. He indwells you. He lives in you. And you are told in the Bible to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means you can either be, see, there's no middle ground here. You're either black or white. There's no gray. You're either in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. You're either filled with the Spirit in fellowship or you're controlled by your old sin nature out of fellowship. It's no in between. So stop just a minute. Look at your own life. Is there sin that you haven't dealt with right now? Is there sin you committed this Sunday morning and you haven't named it to God? And here you are on your way to church. You're about to go down to church and worship God at church or whatever you want to do today. But you have unconfessed sin in your life. Don't you do that. You walk in that church with unconfessed sin in your life. You're in the right place, yes, but you're in the wrong way, and you have quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get anything out of the message. You're going to be convicted and convinced, hopefully, that there's sin there. But as far as getting some divine perspective that you could apply into your life and use in your life, you can't do it. As far as renovating your thinking, according to Romans 12, 1 through 3, you can't do it. All that comes under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Effectively representing Christ, it comes under the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you don't follow the protocol plan of God, you will wind up at the judgment seat of Christ with a bundle of wood, hay, and stubble. Yes, you went to church. Yes, you tithed. Yes, you went on mission trips. Yes, you sang in the choir. Yes, you taught Sunday school class. But it was all human effort and human energy, human dynamics, and it was worthless. It did not glorify God. It did not represent Jesus Christ. You represented your own self. You must be filled with the Spirit. So as I close out this show today, you look at yourself. You look at yourself closely. Am I spiritual? Am I in fellowship? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life? Because without it, you cannot learn the flatline. You can't use the flatline. It's totally ineffective until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why problem-solving device number one is rebound, and problem-solving device number two is the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it solves the problem of your genetically formed old sin nature running and ruining your life. Think about it. Consider it. Pray over it. Come back next week. I hope you will. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.